It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Only, of course, we are not speaking with Jamie Lee this week. We are speaking with Andrew. Andrew, how are you?
Very good, Laura. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. So today we're just going to have a quick chat about Kiwi Build. So National has been a little bit critical of it. Why is that?
Yeah, we have. And look, the main reason is that I think they've got the metrics all wrong when it comes to the income threshold. So they've set it very high at $180,000. And so what that means is that you could have, for example, a very high-earning lawyer on $180,000, perhaps married to someone who's not working, and they could access one of these Kiwi Build homes. And you compare that, for example, to two people who might be on the minimum wage earning $70,000 between them. Well, that lawyer earning $180,000 would have just as much chance as that couple earning $70,000 of accessing a Kiwi Build home.
So it doesn't take that kind of extra demographic information into account, obviously. But isn't that in the sense of trying to make this as fair as possible?
Well, I think what would be more fair, I mean, the whole reason behind Kiwi Build is to enable low and middle income earners to access homes. And that's been what Labor sold as all during the campaign. But what they've done now is they've said that people on low incomes will have just as much chance of accessing these homes as people on higher incomes. And they've really created a lottery. And it's literally a lottery. They'll have to enter a lottery to have a chance to buy one of these homes. And they've put a low-income earner on with just as much chance as someone who's a high-income earner.
It does take some demographic information into account, first-time home buyer, permanent resident, all that kind of stuff. So what kind of stuff would National start incorporating into that to make it a more just kind of situation there?
Well, I mean, I need to point out that we don't support Kiwi Build because our view is that the best way to lower house prices is actually to increase supply. And so that's why we favour things like substantial RMA reform and just also working with councils to free up land, because if you want to lower the house, lower the cost of housing, then you need to increase supply. But, for example, if you were to go ahead with Kiwi Build, then if they're talking about making it more accessible for low-income earners, then they should be favouring low-income earners. The fact is they haven't done that. They've set the income threshold very high at $180,000, which gives high-earning lawyers just as much chance of accessing one of these homes and potentially selling it on for a great profit as someone who is on a low income.
In terms of increasing supply, Kiwi Build, that's kind of the purpose of it, creating more housing in order to be directly lined into lower-income families. I don't quite understand why National thinks this isn't accomplishing this.
Well, the evidence so far is that actually the Kiwi Build process isn't increasing supply. So there's a lot of displacement going on where effectively what Phil Twyford's doing with Kiwi Build is taking over existing housing developments, putting a Kiwi Build stamp on them and saying that the government's delivered them. Well, actually, those housing developments are being delivered regardless of the government. It just happens to be that the government's come in and partnered with these developments and put a Kiwi Build stamp on them and said that they're happening because of government. It's just not the case. So the only way to lower the cost substantially of housing is to increase supply, and Kiwi Build hasn't done that yet.
But we are consistently hearing in the news about how we're having more builders who are immigrants coming into the country in order to create a bigger supply. There's clearly some action being taken by government. Perhaps in some cases we are having that situation you're talking about, but...
Mm. But I mean, if you look at the construction sector at the moment, there's already a huge number of vacancies out there. So if they were serious about wanting to bring in migrants to increase the supply of housing, then they could absolutely do that. They don't need to spend $2 billion of taxpayers' money to do that. If they wanted to increase the supply of construction workers, they could easily do that by tweaking immigration settings. They are doing that, and that's fine, but they're not... they don't need to be spending $2 billion of taxpayers' money in addition to that.
So you are very anti-tax here in terms of increasing the supply. I don't quite understand how you would not increase the tax in order to increase that supply or use that taxpayer money in order to increase supply.
Oh, certainly not anti-tax. And certainly when we're in government, we did a lot of things on the demand side. To assist people into their own homes. For example, we brought in the Home Start scheme, which helped, I think, 50,000 first home buyers into their first home. So you know, there's really substantial things that you can do with taxpayer support, and it's appropriate. What the government's talking about is picking winners and giving people with, you know, on high incomes a chance to buy one of these KiwiBuild properties. And actually, all they're talking about in the first couple of years, at least, is about 6,000 homes in the first year. Well, as I said, we enabled 50,000 first home buyers into their first home by giving subsidies through Homestar.
Moving on, immigration analytical tools have been dumped by government. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I have to point out it is an operational matter for Immigration New Zealand. They've obviously gone off and talked to the Privacy Commissioner and the Human Rights Commission, and they've determined that the settings that they had in place weren't appropriate. So, you know, it's now up to them to go off and come up with a new framework which enables them to do what they have to do. Because, look, from time to time, immigration do have to deport people. You know, clearly it's in everyone's best interests that where people are identified as being working here or living here outside the parameters of their visa, they leave voluntarily. But from time to time, Immigration New Zealand do have to deport people.
I think because it came into effect while National was in government, it seems to have quite a large bias, which supports deporting people of certain demographic because they have an increased likelihood of having a hospital admittance or of criminal activity. Does National still stand by that?
Oh, well, it wasn't a National government decision. Yes, it came into effect while National were in government, but as I say, it's an operational matter. There was no knowledge of it being put into place by ministers, for example. These things are kept very independently from ministers for very good reason. You don't want ministers making day-to-day decisions about who should or shouldn't be deported. They are matters for Immigration New Zealand to decide on independently. So there was no direction by the National government to put this framework in place. It was something that Immigration New Zealand came up with themselves, determined by themselves, and have now decided that it's not appropriate, and that's fair enough. In terms of the wider point, you know, they do have to come up with a framework from time to time about identifying people who are most at risk, because, you know, there's a lot of people who are here on different sorts of visas. You do have to come up with some sort of risk matrix to identify the people who are most likely to be staying outside the terms of their visa, and it's appropriate that they do that.
Demographic information that kind of insinuates a kind of systemic potential racism in that, where we are seeing people of certain nationalities or ethnicities being deported at a higher proportion because of that information.
Not necessarily. I mean, I'm not suggesting that ethnicity should be one of those parameters. What I'm saying is that there's a whole range of information which can identify someone who's more at risk of overstaying rather than someone who perhaps is less at risk of overstaying. So there's a whole range of things, and it might be income related, it might be background of the person, but it's not necessarily ethnicity. But as I say, it's up to Immigration New Zealand to make that decision themselves. I understand that the Privacy Commissioner and also the Human Rights Commission have offered to work with Immigration New Zealand on coming up with a new framework, and they should go and do that.
Perfect. Thanks so much for talking to me today, Andrew.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Bye.
That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross. The Wire.